Hello and welcome back to a very special episode of the Butter Pie Podcast. It is the Summer Transfer Special and we are joined today by Adam.
Hello.
Jack.
Hello.
And making his entrance 12 minutes after the specified recording time, it's Tom.
Afternoon.
How are you all?
Good. Good to be back. I've not been on in a while.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Well, good. I mean, you know, end of the season now. Obviously, Adam, you've not been on in a while. You know, I'll just ask for your thoughts on what, as a season on a whole, what your thoughts are like of the season?
Well, since Ryan Lowell, I share the same opinions as most people, I'm sure. We're under Frankie. We weren't going anywhere, were we? We made terrible signings in the summer, with the exception of Ali McCann. I think we wasted a lot of money, especially wages. And then it obviously led to Frankie having to get sacked, which at the time felt like the right thing to do. And I think since then, that's probably been a turning point in the club. Since then, we've had a lot of communication from the club. I think Craig has stepped out since the sad passing of Trevor. I think he stepped up massively. We've had, you know, we split the cop for Blackpool games. We split it for Bournemouth, Reading. These are all positive moves that the club have done. We've had that fan meet with Ryan Law. Yeah, we've had a lot of good, positive stuff, and the club feels together again. Which I think hasn't been the case for the last couple of years because of COVID, really. I can't remember. I'd probably say, you know, Alex Neil's first or second season when the club really felt together. It was last time as a fan base we were united. But yeah, as a whole, I'd probably just give it an average one. We finished mid-table, which, well, I didn't predict us to, but the majority of us expected us to. Yeah, I think moving forward, I'm looking forward to the new season. Yeah, a few highlights of the last season. Definitely Blackpool at home is probably the big one. I really enjoyed Hull away. I thought that was probably one of the best away there. Stoke away was a good one. Played really good football. Barnsley at home under Low as well. There are a few lows. Blackpool away, Blackburn away. Forest away was three low points. Obviously, Trevor's passing. So as a whole, I think we did all right. I didn't think we did exceptionally badly or exceptionally poorly in the end. But yeah, looking forward to next season.
Well, yeah, it's that bit of optimism for next season that you know you probably really need. I know you mentioned highs and lows. I'll mention another low if you've not come against it, but I think Luton away you were absolutely terrible. I'm not sure if you mentioned that. And another highlight was probably the last game of the season against Borough. Yeah. We were fantastic. Which leads me on to my next point, boys, is obviously Mikey O'Neill has come through, you know, the academy into the first team, and he got another showing against Middlesbrough. You know, with the released or retained list, whichever you want to say, there's only 13 pros now contracted to the club. So could you potentially see, you know, Mikey O'Neill having, you know, more of an impact next season, or would you see him potentially going out on loan? I know James Beat's coming to become a player loans and pathways manager. What would you prefer to see Mike O'Neill, you know, in and around the first team next season, or could you see him, you know, maybe loaned out?
Yeah, I think he'd probably get like a bit of time on the bench. He might get the odd sub appearance, and I think really if he's got his loan moves are going to be like Bamber Bridge and Chorley, then he might as well just stay around the first team picture with us. So I think he'll benefit from just being around better players, coming on for cameos, and I don't think he'll be like anything like a regular starter or anything like that, but he'll have enough game time to develop him, and then hopefully the year after he can be a regular. But no, I don't think he's quite ready to be there like week in, week out. But then I also don't think a loan move would really benefit him unless it was maybe to a Football League club, which, judging by our last few loans for our youngsters, hasn't been the case.
Well, I think the club have tried to, you know, implement, like, trying to find these players' loans. I know North End's under-19s have had a fantastic season. And, Jack, you obviously saw it up close and personal. You know, you went to a few games. And I know you mentioned a couple of players here and there. But could you see, potentially, these players who did get professional contracts, if they were to go out on loan, could you potentially see them getting a footballing league side?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Well, we're looking at, you know, how we're going to be doing our loan system, aren't we? You know, with James Beat now in charge of, you know, player pathways and et cetera. And, you know, and I think, you know, Peter Risdale mentioned yesterday that is somewhere that they've been rightly criticised for. So, yeah, I think some of these lads could genuinely go out on loan to minimum National League. And it's probably best that these lot that are on professional contracts do go out to Football League or National League teams, because they need that experience and they really need to test themselves in an environment. And I think it will separate who really is made for, you know, for us, you know, like made for like the Football League and who isn't, you know, and that really that can really separate, you know, who's good enough and not good enough. And yeah, I do see a few of them going into the Football League on loan. Who though, I'm not too sure. I don't think Mike O'Neill will be loaned out. Maybe is Josh Seary on a professional contract? He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere like Carlisle or somewhere for him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, League Two, League One. I mean, League One is probably a little bit of a reach for some of these, but League Two and National League is probably where we're going to be looking for some of these, aren't we?
Yeah, I agree. And I'm also going to mention to you first, Adam, and then to, you know, Jack and Tom. But I know I've mentioned, you know, youngsters getting loans out, but there's maybe one in the first team picture that you could potentially think, you know what, if he doesn't get sold, you'd like to see him get out on loan, and that's Josh Earl. So I know, you may think he needs to be sold, but is there an idea there that, you know, we could potentially loan out Josh Earl and see where he fits in maybe a left centre-back role, Adam?
What I'd say with the question of Josh Earl is, how many more loans does he need? You know, he played, was it 2016-17 season? He played half the season as our left back. He kind of like petered out. He's been on loan at Burton, Bolton, I think Ipswich as well, he's been on loan at. And, you know, I like Earl because he's a local lad anyway. I think he's from, was he Southport or something? He's come through a youth setup, and when he first came through, I thought this guy's playing Premier League football when he's older, because when he first came, he was 17, 18. He was really, really good. And I don't know what's happened to him. It seems, I think it might be a confidence issue. I think, you know, going forward with the ball, he's just inept. He just can't go forward. I'm not trying to knock him in any way. I'm just trying to say what I see when I watch him. It's like when he gets past the halfway line, he's scared to do anything. He's just, you know, he don't know what he's doing. Defensively, he's all right. I know he's suspect with marking, but he's all right going defending. But that the defensive is not a secondary, but the main attribute that Lowell is desiring from his fullbacks is attacking threat. As you've seen with Johnson at left wing back last couple of games of the season, having that threat on the left hand side is so important to our system. And you can see the difference when we have a creative player on the left side compared to when we don't. So, yeah, in answer to your question about loaning Josh out, if, and I'm sure this will be a theme throughout the whole of this episode, I trust Law to make the right decision. I think the people he's got around him, I think Galli is quite a good balancer as well. I think he'll just say what he thinks. He won't be a yes man. I think Mike Marsh has been around some exceptional youth talent when he were at Liverpool and England youth setup. So I'm sure those few people can make the right decision, and I trust them to do it. But if it were me personally, I'd be looking to sell Josh Earl, because number one, I don't think he's probably good enough, and I think he's getting to that age now where if you're not making it now, you're probably not going to make it ever. Yes, obviously, with every player you want to get rid of, if you can't transfer them, you're going to try and loan them, so they're not clogging up your squad list and not clogging up your wages. But with him, I don't really see what the use of another loan would be. So, yeah, those are my thoughts on Josh Earl.
What about you, Tom? Because, you know, Adam's just mentioned there that, you know, he doesn't feel like another loan will be efficient. But we've seen Jordan Story go out and get more game time at centre-half, and he's, what, 24 now? And I think Earl's just a bit younger. So, I mean, what are your thoughts potentially loaning Josh Earl out?
I think, like, at this, even the last season under Frankie, like, first 20 games, he actually looked pretty good at left wing back, bombing forward, Huddersfield away springs to mind, and he was doing pretty well. But I think his confidence has just been knocked completely since Lowe's come in. Like, obviously, he demands more going forward, and I don't think Earl necessarily has the capabilities for that, unfortunately. Obviously, you mentioned maybe as a left centre back, maybe he could go out on loan, like, and try that position out for maybe half a season, see how he's getting on there, and he could be good backup to Hughes or competition. Or even pre-season, there's no harm with keeping him around for a bit and seeing him in that position and seeing what he's about. But I kind of agree with Adam that he's had loans at Bolton, Ipswich, Burton. He's had a few bashes in the first team with us. Like, how much longer can you give these people? Like, he's not a kid anymore, Josh Earl. Like, he's still treated like he's, what, 18, 19. He's coming up to 24, is he now? So, at some point, you're going to have to just make a decision. And I think, unfortunately, Lowe might have already made his mind up that he's one he wants to get rid of, and he'll probably end up, he's probably one of the easier ones to shift, because a lot of League One clubs will look at Josh Earl and think he's worth a punt, and he's probably not on a massive wage. So if we get the opportunity, I think we'll probably end up selling him rather than loaning him out, even if that's like a nominal fee or no fee at all. But yeah, I think, unfortunately for Earl, his time's probably over with us.
Yeah, you've mentioned there that, you know, League One clubs will be looking at it, and more specifically, Plymouth Argyle were apparently interested in bringing him in when Lowe was a manager and wanted him to play left centre half. Go on, Jack. I want to hear your thoughts, because obviously Adam and Tom said they're just straight up sell. But do you think there's any reason to potentially loan out Josh Earl, or do you think his time's potentially up?
I don't know. I'm honestly in two minds about it, because, like, I like Earl, and, you know, it's great to see that, you know, obviously he came up through our academy and came, you know, went into the lineup. I'm still wondering how on earth, like, where is that player from the 17-18 season that had managers of opposition teams, like, praising him? Like, Harry Redknapp comes to mind. He absolutely loved Josh Earl when we played them, you know, like the first half of the season. I'm just wondering where that player is. And, you know, I definitely think it's a confidence thing. And I I don't want to make any accusations, but I don't think it's particularly a coincidence that his lack of confidence has come in when Ryan Lowe's come in. I'm not trying to say that Ryan Lowe's probably knocking his confidence. He probably isn't. It's probably because he's obviously had a few bad games and that's got to him. I don't know whether to loan him out is probably the most sensible thing. We probably have to, unfortunately, cut our losses with him. But yeah, I agree with Tom, by the way, about, you know, we still treat him like he's this 18-year-old. He's not. He's 23, coming up to 24. He's going to be a very, you know, a mature footballer. And, you know, it's just... It's starting to get to the point where we can't keep thinking, okay, maybe we'll give him another loan. Maybe he'll improve. He'll come back, have a few good games, and then the dip in form will come, and then everyone will be like, oh, maybe he needs another loan. We can't keep doing that. It's a cycle. And I think at some point we need to cut that cycle. And I think this summer might have to be it for him. But, you know, that's unfortunate for him. You know, I don't want to... you know, see his North End career cut short. But if it's for the benefit of the team, and if it's to get to where we want to be, then we honestly have to get rid of him, because we can't keep, you know, doing this to ourselves, where, you know, I can't get my words out, but yeah, if you get what I mean, like we can't keep doing this with him.
Yeah, I get what you mean, and you know, the club's been ruthless to say this summer compared to, you know, the rest of the summers, because you could see, you know, a couple of them released. Maybe, you know, I think Pete Ridsdale mentioned yesterday, you could see potentially one of them being offered another year contract, giving them another chance, you know. How many more chances are we going to give Josh Earle? He notoriously was brought in, you know, from Alex Neil to play as a left back. And I know when Frankie's wanting to play and, you know, Ryan Lowe now, they're more focused on a wing back. And I really don't think Josh Earle's a wing back, because, you know, as Adam said, you know, he gets to the halfway line and he doesn't really have any attacking intent. And, you know, Ryan Lowe, especially now, wants a lot more from his wing-backs than Frankie probably did. And I thought, you know, Josh Earle, yeah, he did okay under Frankie at wing-back, but he was more of a flat five under Frankie, whereas, you know, under Ryan Lowe, he's wanting his wing-backs to be right up there in the attack. You know, that's why he's trying to push Brad Potts there, who we will come on to at wing-back. And it's probably why Greg Cunningham's been playing left wing back, albeit, yeah, maybe not as efficiently as everyone would like. But I would like to think that Greg Cunningham has, you know, more attacking intent than Josh Earle. It just feels like Josh Earle doesn't fit the system of the club, because, you know, North End have mentioned that they need to bring in players to fit a manager's system. And Ryan Lowe's been very specific and said, listen, I'm not going to change my system. I'm going to change the personnel. And, you know, Josh Hill's probably one of those that's going to be changed, because he doesn't fit the 3-5-2 or, you know, however you want to look at Ryan Lowe's system. So he's probably one of those that, you know, obviously we've not put it out there by saying the club will listen to offers for Josh Hill. But I definitely feel like he'll be on the list of, you know, potential players that, yeah, we've not outspoken and said it, but we will listen to offers, because, you know, Josh Harrop, Matthew Olisunde and Tom Bayliss, the fact that, you know, Ryan Lowe and the club have mentioned that is meaning they just want to get them off the books no matter what. Whereas, you know, there's probably, you know, 3 or 4 more players in the contracted list that the club will think, you know what, if a club did come in, you know, we'd probably accept it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ridsdale said yesterday in his interview that, you know, I don't think this... Actually, yeah, I think he was speaking about players as well. But it's like, anyone's up for sale, it just depends on the price. And if some League One club or maybe even a Championship club, which would baffle me, was to come in with a good amount of money and said, okay, we'll take Josh Earle, I'm sure we'd accept it, but I'm sure we'd be... I think Josh Earle would be, out of the players that are not transfer listed, he is the player that will be surely listening to the most for offers. Whoever will come in for him, that's obviously yet to be seen, but I can see a top League One club coming in for him. Maybe Sheffield Wednesday, if they don't get Jordan Story, they probably won't, but if they don't get Jordan Story, maybe they'll be like, okay, we'll give Josh Earle a chance, even though I don't think he quite, even though Josh Earle is a left-sided centre-back and Jordan is a right-sided centre-back. But, maybe a top League One club could give him a chance, maybe a mid-table League One club. But it's obviously, depending on the price, I just don't think we can loan him out again. We can't give him that chance.
Mm-hmm. As I've just mentioned there, boys, I mentioned there's potentially three or four more in the contracted list. I'll go for him now, all of them. Adam O'Reilly, Alan Brown, Adam McCann, Andrew Hughes, Ben Whiteman, Brad Potts, Chad Evans, Daniel Johnson, Emil Reese, Greg Cunningham, John Story, Josh Earle, Josh Harrop, Lewis Coulton, Liam Lindsay, Matthew Olisunde, Patrick Bauer, Ryan Ledson, Sean Maguire and Tom Bayliss. And as I mentioned before, Tom Bayliss, Josh Harrop and Matthew Olisunde are on the transfer list, to say the least. But there's definitely three or four other players in there that you probably consider selling. Adam O'Reilly is not... I don't think he's ever going to make Championship standard. If anyone disagrees with me, you can, say. Or do you agree with that?
No, I think, yeah. He's a... I think the Irish season runs till February, if I'm right. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to be around for this season anyway, is he? Because obviously he's on loan at St. Patrick's, I think it is. I think Risdale said that they're in like the Europa League or something in his podcast with From the Finny. So that'll be a good experience for him. And maybe if he does really well in that, there could be a chance for him in next summer, but I think you'd have to presume with our midfield options that he's probably days are numbered at North End, unfortunately.
That point's quite good, Tom, actually, because I was looking at Adam O'Reilly last night, that he took whilst at the club, and it said he signed a 3-year deal in 2020. Which obviously Alice Neil was the manager at the time, and I'm like, had I missed something had Adam O'Reilly been playing a lot or been around the first team a lot at the time? And I don't think he was. No. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it's one of those, I'm sure it's going to be different moving forward, but you look at Adam O'Reilly and you think, who in the right mind's giving him another 3-year deal? When 3 years ago he weren't even getting in and around the team, and he's just been playing in Irish league since, and it's similar to Jamie Thomas and Josh Harrop, because I don't see why we signed those two either, to be honest.
Well, no. I've got the actual amount of days since Adam O'Reilly, and well, it was even worse. It was the days between, them and Mikey O'Neill, but Adam O'Reilly last made a Championship appearance for Preston North End 1,236 days ago.
And when was that in years?
That was the 29th of December 2018, and it was Aston a 1-1 draw against Aston Villa.
Well, there you go. Yeah. It's 18 months before he signed that contract. He hadn't played in 18 months. That's a full season and half a season. So who in the right mind is giving him another 3-year deal?
Yeah.
Same with Harrop, as you mentioned. We gave him a 3-year deal as well.
Exactly. It's not like it's... With Thomas, I could accept it. And we're like, we've took a punt on the lad. If he turns out to be a wonder talent, fair enough. If not, he's on very low wages for our club. He's only on a 1-year deal. And if not, at the end of the season, he'll just move on. It's not, you know, it's not going to be calamitous to the club. Whereas Harrop and O'Reilly, I look at it and I'm like, Harrop's surely on a decent wage. He's not on a few hundred quid a week like Thomas is. He's on thousands. And
you got to think O'Reilly won't be on much, would he?
No, I'm not trying to say that he is. I'm saying the length of time that these two players are contracted to us, it does add up. It's 3 year accumulatively, it's a 6 year deal between the two of them that we're paying a massive amount of wages for over the 2-3 year periods. And it doesn't make much sense to me.
You probably think towards Josh Harrop because he must have been on a bit from, you know, Manchester United coming down. We probably offered him around. This is just probably a pump, but you're probably looking around 10,000 mark. Say it is, hypothetically, he's on 10,000 a week. That 3 year deal, you know, he's probably going to get a signing bonus as well. But if you're counting it all up, that's, you know, a million.
It's 1.5 million in wages alone.
You know, yeah, just on wages alone. So it accumulates what North End have spent. Well, it's our transfer record, isn't it? It breaks our transfer record, what we've paid Josh Harrop over these three years, isn't it? So it's baffling. And, you know, yeah. the club's realize, I'm guessing it's coming to realize, you know, we can't do this now. We have to be more efficient with our money. And, you know, hopefully this is the transfer window where we do get it right. Because, I mean, looking at the last window, we had a kind of a rebuild under Frankie. I know January was a bit of a stopgap. You know, we brought in, was it 7 loans? Then we had to make 2 permanent to manage our 5 loans.
We practically signed the NHS waiting room last summer, didn't we, though?
Yeah, Connor Wickham, Izzy Brown, Connor Wickham played 12 minutes for us, didn't he? And then he went off injured. Izzy Brown just got injured in pre-season. Josh Murphy never really played for the club. You know, Jim Thomas never really played for the club. Liam Lindsay, he's, you know, back up now. He's very inconsistent, but he does have glimpses of, you know, potential Liam Lindsay. I'm unsure whether or not I keep him personally. Then you've got Ali McCann, who was a fantastic signing by the club. And then obviously you've got Dan Iverson and Seth Van den Berg back on loan, which, you know, potentially you could say were, you know, the best two loans we've had since Aidan McGeady.
I wouldn't disagree with that, personally.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
So, I mean, the club's probably, you know, it's getting to the stage now where it seems like we're rebuilding every window. And there's got to be a stage now for me, you know, where it has to go right one time. And hopefully it's this summer. And, you know, we are going to get on to, you know, potential signings in a minute or so. It's got to be this summer, I think. And I'm going to ask you boys each, just quickly, I just want a straight number off you all. I'll come to you first, Adam. How many players do you think need bringing in? Just a straight number now.
Seven.
Tom, straight number of how many incomings we need this summer?
9.
Jack?
I told you last week it was 8 or 9 for me.
8 or 9, yeah. And to be fair, I know we've mentioned a couple of players that could leave. I know we mentioned Adam O'Reilly, Josh Earle, potentially look at Sean Maguire, maybe Ched Evans, who I do think he'll probably stay around. He could be looking at more, really, because he wants 22 and we've only got 13 contracted now. So, at this moment... But, yeah, I mean, he could be more, and, you know, we'll probably look now to say which positions are needed to be filled. I may have mentioned
before,
this...
Before then, Ollie, I think we should do the opposite, how many players we'd get rid of, personally.
We did that last week, though.
Did you? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's clear that Adam doesn't listen to the Butter Pie podcast.
No, sorry. Too busy.
Well, so position-wise, what we need to fill, we obviously need two keepers, you know, potentially three. I know young James, I think his first name is James Pradic. He's up and coming in and seems to be doing very well. I saw a save against Fleetwood. I think it was the last game to win the league, and it was a superb save. So you're probably looking at two keepers. You're probably looking at, you know, two wing backs each for each side, because for me, Greg Cunningham and Josh Earle aren't good enough. And although I do like Brad Potts, he needs improving down the right-hand side as well.
Yeah.
And then probably looking, you know, a number 10 to, you know, push DJ potentially and, you know, have some more creativity, whether that's in the starting 11 or even off the bench. And then you're definitely going to need a striker as well. If that means, you know, Sean Maguire or Ched Evans, got one of them going as well, you probably need two, because, you know, Cameron Archer's left, who may come back. But, I mean, I'd probably look to move one of Maguire or Evans on and bring in, you know, a permanent striker as well as a loan, whether that be Cameron Archer or someone else. I'm not sure what you both think.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with the majority of it. Looking back on it now, I think seven's probably a bit under what we need. I'd probably say close to 10 now. Definitely agree about two left-backs. For me, Cunningham needs to retire. I don't think he's got it in him anymore. And we've already discussed Earl. So, yeah, definitely two left-wing backs for me. I'd say with Sepp going back, yet to see on Bambo, but even if Bambo signs, we'll only have Hughes, Bauer, Story, Bambo and Lindsay. And I'd say that's probably a bit thin for me. Personally, for me, I'd be looking to get rid of Lindsay. So I'd probably be getting two centre-halves in if Lindsay goes. But I think Lindsay's okay. I'm not a massive fan of him. But, you know, if he were to stay, I'd probably say another centre-back. So on the right-hand side, I do disagree slightly on Potts. I think Potts has probably been one of our brightest sparks in the last few months. I think he's played really well.
Would you have him starting now?
Yeah, I was just about to come on to that. Whether or not I'd have him as a starter week in, week out next year, I definitely think he can be improved upon. So I'd definitely get in a right wing back. But Potts is a good player to have around the squad. You know, he's played a number 10, he's played right wing, he's played, I remember Huddersfield away last year, although he played terribly there because it's not his position, he played striker for Frankie. He's played as a box-to-box, and obviously at the minute he's playing at a right wing back, so he's a very good squad player to have. He played a lot of good positions, specifically right wing back, I'd probably keep him as. Keeper, yeah, I don't disagree with what you said as well. Definitely need two keepers as a minimum. Number 10, I'd get a number 10 in, but I also think the issue of creativity won't be as reliant upon the midfield if we get a
decent creative wing back.
If we get decent wing backs, as we've seen with Barnsley and Middlesbrough, where having that creative threat down the left-hand side alone has made us score seven goals in two games. So I would get a midfielder in, but it'd be very low down on my list of issues. I think we've already got a very good midfield. Whiteman, Brown, McCann, Johnson, Ledson, they're all very good Championship footballers, and I have no issues with that midfield at all. The one issue would be creativity, personally, but even then, I think it creates chances in other ways. I think Brown's a very good presser. He's very athletic. Johnson's obviously very creative. Whiteman, for me, is probably our best player. McCann He's very good at pressing and tackling high up the field as well. So we have a very good midfield. And then comes on to the issue of striker, which feels like we say every single year as North End fans, and it's never changed for the past 10 years. I think we need another striker in summer. Personally, and I know it's going to be a hot take, I'd be selling Reece, because if we're serious about going for playoffs, I believe Reece is too inconsistent, personally. Especially
what about
Dory, I'll come on to them. And I think Reece, under Lowe especially, he's been quite poor for the majority of the games, personally. Obviously, Bournemouth at home, Blackpool at home, and Barnsley and Middlesbrough spring to mind. Bristol at home as well, he played well. But then, you know, for every game he's played well, there's two games where he's dropped a 2 out of 10. So I'd sell him whilst we can. And I think Reece would probably attract a price tag of close to £10 million, because a 20 goal a season striker in the Championship is attracting that sort of money at the minute. And then, yeah, I think Evans I'd probably keep. I'm not a huge fan of him. He's okay as a plan B.
I can't believe you're selling Reece and keeping Evans.
Too right, I am. And then I'd be selling Maguire as well. There's no doubt in my mind out of that. So that leaves us quite thin up front. So I'd say maybe two, maybe three strikers then.
Yeah. But before we move on, Adam, I do want to just pick out what you've just said before. And that reminded me of, you know, Huddersfield away. Is Brad Potts and Ched Evans as a front two the worst two strike force I've seen on a pitch? I'd probably say yes. They were dreadful.
It is up there, yeah. I think
that game was embarrassing. We Huddersfield, fair play to them, in the Championship final, now playoff final. But they won the game without having a shot on target. So
yeah, that sums up Huddersfield's season. They are genuinely shite. I have no idea how they're up there.
He's gotten playing, Corberan, but I can't agree with you selling Reece and keeping Evans there, Adam. I'm not sure what the other two think about that statement, but we've been complaining about not having, you know, a 20 goal season striker. And then we're on about selling the striker. And, you know, although North End, yeah, we'll bring in 10 million, but we did fish Ugill, and look how we replaced him. We didn't. And, you know, we brought in money for Robinson and replaced him with Josh Dunelly. And we replaced Greg Cunningham with Greg Cunningham. So
that's a fair point to make. But I also think that was probably, what, 4 or 5 years ago now? And I think times are different. I think under Lowe, with the analysis behind him, I think given, you know, even half of that money, £5 million plus the already existing transfer budget that I'm sure he'll be aware of, I'm sure, you know, that's probably £5, £6, maybe even £7 million there. He could get probably every single player that he'll need this summer with that money. And I think sacrificing one player who, for me, has been very inconsistent under law, I think it's probably worth it, personally. I think Reece, yeah, class on his day. But just think of the amount of goals he could have had. The amount of one-on-ones he misses is genuinely mental. You know, and I think Reece has come on a lot this season. And when you look at it, it's quite a common thing in footballing world. Arsenal's a prime example of it all the time. They'll have a really good player that is iffy, and then the next season they'll just fall apart. And then what do you do with that player next year? And I'm scared that's going to happen to Reece. And for me, I wouldn't even take the chance, because as a club, I don't think we can take chances. I think I'd sell him, get that £10 million in, and put it in the kitty, because I think it'd be put to good use. The examples that I was thinking of then, probably Lacazette. I think he's past it. Aubameyang was the same at Arsenal. Ozil was the same at Arsenal. And it's quite a common thing in the footballing world for it to happen. So, yeah, that's my reasoning behind Reece. I understand. Look, put it this way. If we didn't sell him, I wouldn't be annoyed at all. I'd be happy as well. It's a win-win for me.
I'll tell you what. I'll make a statement now. If Emo Reece stays next season and Cameron Archer comes back, or if Cameron Archer comes back and, you know, Emo Reece stays, I think Emo Reece will get 25 goals in all competitions next season.
Right. Bold shout. But I think that's fair. He might do. I think Reece.
Why would you sell him then?
I think, no, Reece is one of those players where he plays in patches, and I think he could well do 25 goals next season, but he could also go 25 games without a goal. So
what does that leave us with? That leaves us with, you know, Evans and Maguire, who've, you know, not they've probably not scored in 25 games. Jack and Tom, you know, where are you at with this? Please say someone's backing me up on this.
No,
please.
No. Right. I don't know who in their right mind would sell Reece. In the last game against Middlesbrough, I felt like the system was a little bit more focused around Emile Reece, and we saw how he thrived in that. You had Cameron Archer coming deep, collecting the ball, playing him in, and I feel like that not only benefited Reece, but it also benefited the other players on the pitch. How well we played that day. We decimated a playoff contending team, you know, played them off the park and put them under constant pressure. And I feel like it got the best of everyone, not just Reece. Yet there was still a focus on him, and we saw what he can truly do when there is a focus on him. You know, he scores goals. Like, I've never seen him put in like a performance like that, you know, for I think probably since Bournemouth or something like that. And, you know, if we just continue to probably play to his strengths, I feel like not only we're benefiting everyone, not just Reece. So I don't really get where this whole narrative that we should sell him, you know, while he's valuable. By the way, who's picking him up for 10 million? I don't even think we're getting that for him. I think we're probably getting at least 5 million. I don't really think that 10... I think 10 million is just not really possible.
Go on, Tom. What do you think to this debate?
Well, I don't agree entirely with Adam, but I have also criticised Reece quite a bit this season, as you'll all know. I think a lot of the goals that he scored, of the 20 goals he's got, came in a flurry under Frankie, where it was very much not really much onus on him to hold the ball up. It was more like a hit and hope, balls in behind, and that suits Reece. Yeah, great. And under Lowe, it's not always quite gone to plan for him, with sometimes having to come deep to try and link up the play. But then the last couple of games of the season, I thought he was much improved in that aspect. Maybe because the Middlesbrough game, they were having to win that game, so maybe they left more space in behind, which suits Reece down to a T, but he was still much better with his hold-up play. So I think you can't sell a 20-goal season striker. Like, I think under Lowe in pre-season, he definitely does need to improve his hold-up play. And I think that's why Adam would be open to selling him, because he's not been great at it for the majority of Lowe's reign so far. But I think he's 23 now, so he's got 3 years on his deal. There's no rush to sell him. So I think if we can get him that part of his game polished up, well, I mean, he's probably going to double in price. So, yeah, and considering, like you say, Ollie, we've only got Maguire and Evans contracted past Reece, you can't really be going into a summer window with only those two as your strikers and have to bring in two or three strikers. It's just not a good situation to be in. But I think if you've got Emil Reece, who's got 20 goals this season, you've got Cameron Archer, who got nearly 10 in half a season, you'd be looking at nearly 40 goals between the pair of them next season if they can play like they did against Middlesbrough. And if you've got 40 goals in your attack, with goals coming from like other areas, DJ, Brown, your wing backs will be more attacking next year. I mean, you're contenders for playoffs with that sort of firepower, aren't you? So I think we'd be stupid to kind of sell him now, especially that it looked like him and Archer started to have a bit of a connection. Obviously, the Blackpool assist from Reece to Archer and then Archer's assist to Reece against Middlesbrough. They were starting to see signs of that link-up play. So I think those two for a full season together, I mean, you wouldn't back against us for finishing top six with them two, would you?
No, and I think that's the point we have to make, because you can't get rid of Emil Reece and leave Sean Maguire and Chad Evans as like your only two strikers, because I know you mentioned, you know, say he does go for 10 million and he might not even get offered that. He may be offered like 8. How much of that is going to actually be available? And you know, how much money is going to have to be spent to be able to bring in a player that, you know, does what Reece does, and you know, that's scored 20 goals, because you don't really get many players around, you know, the championship level at the price we, you know, would spend on a striker. You wouldn't be able to get a 21 goal striker for 1.5 million now at the championship level. And you know, we were lucky with, you know, the chance that we got Reece, and you know, he's turned out to be this great player. But what I would say now is, away from selling the players, I know, Tom, you've mentioned in the group chat, you've got a 100-player list of potential players to bring in.
I think I might have I say 100. I think it's around the 85 mark, but it's a big list.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go through it, shall we? And, you know, what should we do? Should we say that we would take them as players, or
there's a few that are obviously like not realistic or just kind of a last resort option.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever watched Sunderland Till I Die? You know where his recruitment analyst, and he says, why is Zlatan Ibrahimovic at the bottom of this list?
Just in case, you know, you never know where this money might come from. That find some under the sofa.
Well, right. So
except
come on.
Our version is going to be Cameron Jerome.
Oh, yeah. I heard Robbie Keane's coming out of retirement and joining North End.
Oh, my word.
Right, so Tom, let's hear. Have you got them in order, or like?
Yeah, I'll give some. I'll give some goalkeepers, and then I'll give you some defenders, wing backs, strikers. So I won't list them all, because obviously that would take all day. But obviously Nathan Baxter, that was loan at Hull from Chelsea. Obviously Gavin Bazunu, who's been linked recently, been on loan at Portsmouth from Manchester City. James Trafford, also on loan from Manchester City, was at Bolton. Starkic, who was at Birmingham, got injured, but he got their player of the season still after getting injured in January. I think he kept something like 15 clean sheets in 25 games or something like that. He's at Wolves. Freddie Woodman, obviously was at Newcastle, where he still is, but went on loan to Bournemouth. He's not played ahead of Travers, so he might be looking for some game time. And Jamie Cumming was on loan at MK Dons last season from Chelsea, so he'll be good with the ball at his feet, which Lowe will like. Not sure how great he is with actual...
Are these more looking at loan keepers?
These are loans, these ones. Yeah. I think really for... I should have specified that, really. I think for the first-choice goalkeeper, I think we're going to go for a lone goalkeeper.
And then get an overhead as a backup.
And then, like, the backups that are out of contract, like Kieran Westwood.
Yeah, I was going to mention it. Yeah.
So I don't think there's any point spending a fee on a goalkeeper. So those type of young goalkeepers are kind of the ones I could see us looking at.
Yeah, I think Gavin Bazunu will be a very good coup. Because although we'd love Iverson back, I don't think it's feasible at this stage. I know Peter Ridsdale said they're planning for, you know, Seth Vandenberg and Daniel Iverson to not be a part of their plans. So, you know, I think Gavin Bazunu will definitely, you know, be a very good coup. You know, he's done well at Portsmouth. And, you know, there's been links with him going potentially straight to the Premier League. I'm unsure if, you know, Man City will think that's a bit of a too big of a jump to go from League One to the Premier League, but it could be done. But I definitely think it'll be a massive coup if we, you know, brought in Bazunu.
Yeah, I think he's really good with the ball at his feet. Obviously, Manchester City rate him highly. He's done his bit in League One now. He knows some of the Irish internationals that we have. So I think it fits the bill, doesn't it? And it won't cost us millions to replace Iverson with him. So that would be the one I think we're probably pushing for. And obviously Alan Nixon, if you choose to believe him or not, has said the same. So that would be probably the one we'd all be most excited about, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm sure you two agree as well, Jack.
Yeah, I'd go Bazunu.
So we'll go right wing backs. Have you got right wing backs and then left wing backs? So
I've got a bit of a mixture, yeah. I've got so obviously wing backs, I mean, I could see a bit of a mixture there. We might bring in a loan on one side and a permanent on the other, maybe, I could see. I don't think it'll be two permanents or two loans. I think one will be a permanent, one will be a loan, but there's like Kane Wilson on a free from Forest Green Rovers. Kane Kessler, obviously the Aston Villa links. Ryan Lowe and Steven Gerrard. He's been on loan at MK Dons and Swindon last season. Done really well there. Could be a good option. We've got... Who else have I got on here? There is Norton Cuffey from... Been on loan at Lincoln, yeah. I think we got linked to that other Arsenal guy. I don't have him down.
We actually got mentioned by someone on Twitter wanting to know by Etienne John 59 on Twitter, and he said similar to Arsenal right wing back link yesterday, do we think we should explore more reserve players like them and lure them in permanently? I know we did with Ben Pearson and stuff. Do you think, you know, potentially we should look towards these, you know, under 23 players, lure them in and potentially have them as backup and, you know, bring him in when needed?
Yeah, I think that would be probably a good thing to do. Maybe bring in one of these lone right wing backs that I've mentioned. Obviously, Fossey from Fulham that's been on loan at Bolton's another that I've just come across. But something like that where we bring in a right back that's ready to be first choice. Bring in one of these younger 18, 19-year-olds that have been released from an academy football. And once they go back for the loan, from the loans, the first-choice players, the player that we put in that's a bit younger will be ready to step in. And I think that's kind of what we need to do. You wouldn't want to put it all on his shoulders, bring him in and him be the only signing, but it's a good strategy to have, as we've seen over many years, haven't we?
I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball, a name that a couple of North End fans probably won't have heard of. And that's, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, and that's Bendigus Boller, right? So he's currently on loan at Grasshoppers from Wolverhampton Wanderers. You know, he was in the, I think it was the Euro 2020 Hungary squad. He's played six times for Hungary. You know, he's been on loan Grasshoppers in the Swiss first league. And he's been playing as a right midfielder slash right wing back in a 3-5-2. And, you know, he's probably, you know, a name that's going to be thrown out there and probably never heard of again, knowing what I've just looked for. Because, you know, I don't think North End notoriously look abroad, even though he does play for Wolves. He's these type of players that fit the system that Lowe wants. Yeah. And, you know, Boller's definitely one of those. He's played, you know, in a 3-5-2 as a right mid slash right wing back. And, you know, I'm unsure with the names you just said, whether or not they have played right wing back or is it like a flat four? So I do feel like the club need to look towards, you know, even maybe right mid for this system as well. I know there was, I'm not sure, when Frankie was in charge, there was links to that Anthony Scully, and he's a left mid. And apparently, you know, we're interested, well, or may have been interested in him playing left wing back. Yeah. I think that's probably the way that we've got to look at things. But you have mentioned, you know, you haven't mentioned Ethan Laird. I know you speak quite a lot about him.
Oh, development.
Mention Laird.
I think he would be great for, like,
yeah.
Obviously he's played in possession style footballs with Bournemouth, MK Dons and Swansea. And I think he would fit in well. Obviously his loan at Bournemouth hasn't really worked out for him. So he might be one of them where we could potentially pounce on that and give him another chance in the Championship to prove that he's good enough, because I think his loan at Swansea was going pretty well before he got recalled in January to go to Bournemouth. So someone like that would be ideal, I think.
Yeah.
Wouldn't cost us money because obviously it'd be a loan, and hopefully he would be that attacking threat down the right we need. But you're right about maybe wingers, or even obviously Lowe has transformed Potts into a wing back. At Plymouth, he did it with Connor Grant, and I think he's called Edwards, is it?
Yeah, Joe Edwards.
Joe Edwards, yeah. So he might even look, obviously DJ's been playing on the left, so he might even put in another curveball and look to bring in a midfielder that he wants to be able to play out wide. So
yeah.
I think it's all a bit of guesswork at the minute, but if we're looking at out-and-out wing-backs, then they're probably the types you look at.
I think the big name that jumps out is probably that Kane Kessler Hayden, who's from Villa, and you know, with the connections of Stevie G and you know, with Cameron Archer as well. I'm not sure what you two boys think, Adam and Jack, who's like the standout name there for you, but to me it's probably Kane Kessler Hayden.
Yeah, he probably does fit the bill probably more than the others, just because the relationships that Lowe has with Gerard and how we've treated Cameron Archer, and we might even get Archer back as well. Like, it would be good for them to both play in a nice football team, that play good football, and know that the Aston Villa know that the manager will be trying his best to get the best out of them and send them back as better players. So I think would be the one. I mean,
definitely Kane Kessler is the best option for me.
Yeah. What I would say as well is, we've mentioned now for the keeper and, you know, the right wing back, and you mentioned Cameron Archer as well, is they're all loans as well. So
yeah,
it depends how we use the loan market, I would say, because you get to the stage now where you probably, if you end up bringing in like four loans, which is probably all right, you're probably looking to replace them again.
I don't want us to entirely rely on them, though. That's the thing. That's the annoying thing for me. The fact that Daniel Everson is so good and Sepp Vandenberg was so good, but they were on loan. We're not going to have them next season. So that throws in another problem. Will we get them next season? Probably won't. So we can't entirely rely on loans. We have to get, I think we have, I said 8 or 9 signings. I think like 5, 6, at least 6 have to be permanent.
That was my next point. Because, you know, permanently, they're obviously contracted at the club. I know we've got to be, you know, looking, you know, in the loan market. We've definitely used the loan market well. Moving on to left wing back.
Just one point, Ollie, on the loan markets we were on about. I think it's important that we get the majority of our players to be permanent. Personally, I think three maximum in a squad for loans. But one thing I would say with loans is I think top clubs in England would be more willing to loan their players out to us after looking at what we've done with specifically Anderson and Seth, or even in the last 6 months with Archer. I'm sure top clubs would be looking at North End and thinking specifically keepers, centre-backs and strikers, like we've done with our three loan players. Look at what we've done with Iverson. He's probably, in my opinion, probably biased, but he's probably top three championship keepers this season. Sepp's been, you know, second to none at right centre-back this season. He's been superb. And Archer's done a really good job up front as well. So I think specifically looking forward, the fact that we've made three players come on a lot in the time that they've been at the club, it can only be a good thing for us moving forward.
Definitely. I completely agree. Left wing backs, yeah. Tom. I know you mentioned a couple there. There are a couple of left wing backs. I know we were linked with a few. I'm not sure if they were like properly, you know, announced as like a link, you know, came out in like papers and stuff. I think it might have just been rumors on the forum. But have you got any left wing backs?
Yeah. Well, what I will say just briefly on the loans is, I think our best chance of getting like top six quality, as we've seen this season, is through the loan system. So I don't think we should restrict ourselves and say, oh, we should only bring in three loans. If there's a great loan player available, I'd rather have signed the best players rather than go and sign a permanent player that's half as good. So obviously, ideal situation, you would bring in every player permanently, but with our budget, it's not going to happen. I mean, we'll probably bring in four or five permanents, like a few frees, maybe a fee on one or two. But then to top up that quality, you just look at the three loans we brought in this year and they've been our best three players. So I think you also need to, if you've got the opportunity to bring in these high quality players, which you won't be able to afford permanently, then I think you'd be silly to restrict yourself just because they're on loan. Like, if you sign someone permanently and they play well, you've got a good chance of losing them in the summer. I know you'd be compensated with money for them, but you'd also be probably most likely losing them as well if they had a good season. So I think if the best loans are out there, then you've got to pounce on them. But anyway,
you did mention free agents, and we did get linked to Andre Gray.
Yeah.
What are you, quickly before, you know, move on to left wing backs, we'll do a tiny bit on strikers. What are your thoughts on Andre Gray potentially coming in? Because it does seem like a Scott Sinclair signing, in the fact that, you know, he's going to be demanding high wages because he's not going to fall from, what was he on? I think he's on about 60 grand a week at Watford. So he's not going to be falling too far. Like, he won't be half in it and then some, because North End probably wouldn't pay anything over, you know, say 15 maybe. So it's going to be a really steep jump, you know. Yeah. And he's obviously got to be one of our highest paid players, Andre Gray, if not the highest, if he did come. Well, what are your boys' thoughts? Because he's now turning 31.
I'd say about the Scott Sinclair comparison that, except Andre Gray has shown that you can still do it at this level. Scott Sinclair was out of football for about a year. We didn't know where he was going to be at with his fitness and sharpness, etc. But with Andre Gray, we know he's still capable of doing it at championship level. I think 10 goals in very limited minutes. that's a very good return for someone who's a sub player, you know. And it's kind of, you know, QPR fans kind of saying like it's kind of criminal that he was on the bench for most of the season because he gets goals. That's what he does. Andre Gray, he's done it at this level before. You know, he's top scorer when he was at Burnley. You know, I think it would be a very, very good signing, but it's also very risky with wages and the finances. And also, you've got to consider the other players and the other strikers we have in the squad. Like, are we going to shift Evans? Are we going to shift Maguire, etc.? Because arguably, if we bring Archer in, you've got Gray, Reece, and Archer. If Reece starts ahead of Gray all the time, then Gray's going to get frustrated. And then if Reece is dropped for Gray and Gray starts all these games, then Reece gets frustrated. And it could really bring a bit of disharmony into the squad because we've got three strikers, you know, that are very, very good and capable of doing it in the championship. But yeah, it's a very risky signing financially and for the squad, I think. But no doubt it would be a very good signing in terms of quality of the player.
Go on then, Tom, for the last bit, left wing back names and then maybe a 10.
There was one name that stood out. I don't know if, I think maybe Deepdale Digest might have mentioned it, but Matthew Sorinola. I don't know if you've come across him, Ollie.
The wing back.
But he plays on the left. And he was on loan at MK Dons in 2021, played 23 games, one goal, four assists in Russell Martin's team, which is quite a attacking possession-based style. And he's now at Royal Union Saint-Gilloise.
Yeah, which, in Belgium, yeah.
Yeah, so he could, obviously he's English, so Brexit rules and everything would be fine. And he's probably one of those outside-the-box signings you'd probably think wouldn't cost absolute millions, but he's only 21. He's had experience in League One. It's not quite worked out for him in Belgium so far. He could be a signing that would make a lot of sense for us. So he's a good option, obviously. I've seen that Leif Davis, obviously we've been linked to him, but I think he's more of a left back. He's not really the most of attacking players. I think he's played a bit at centre back, you said, Ollie.
I think he's definitely one of those that, you know, Lowe's trying to bring in to like implement his style, and you need a couple more ball playing centre half. Yeah. So no, Pat Bauer, you know, he's a good centre half, but he's not really renowned for using his feet well.
No, and then there's been a few rumblings about Giannoulis from Norwich, and Xavi Quantilla, is it, Ollie? I think you've heard of him.
Xavi Quantilla, yeah.
Yeah, Xavi. So those two would be people you'd look at and probably say would be good signings. I'm not sure how realistic, especially Giannoulis, would be, because obviously it costs big money to Norwich and they're coming down to the championship, so maybe Quantilla would be a bit more.
Yeah. Sorry, it's a great name to say.
Would be more in our price range or wage structure, but they're all good options. Obviously, we were linked to Ali Kawiki from Northampton in January. They're currently they're playing tonight in the League Two playoffs after just missing out on autos. So
He gives that a watch.
A free transfer, actually. So if anyone wants to check him out tonight, then, well, you won't hear this till tomorrow, so no point in saying that. But,
so see if he has a good game or not.
Yeah. So they'd be probably options. And obviously, going into midfield, there's some good options there. Well, there's been a bit of talk about Cameron Brannigan from Oxford. I'm not quite sure he's a 10, really. He's probably more of an 8, which I guess we do play, but he'd be good competition for DJ, which I think we probably do need, if we're being honest, because when DJ's missing, you do worry where that those chances are being created from. Obviously, wing-backs being brought in will help that, but there's only so much they can do. You've not really got anyone to fill in DJ's shoes, so someone like Branigan would make sense. There's, I think, Romain Sawyers is out of contract, but I presume a lot of clubs would be after him. There's a few good options. Elliot Anderson, we were linked with, who was on loan at
Bristol City. We're linked to Salina, aren't we? Besant Salina.
Salina, yeah.
Who's from Dijon, who's he was on loan at Ipswich last season. Jack, I know you mentioned that a bit ago. He was, you know, Alex Neil was interested, weren't he, in bringing him in, but he didn't come in. Would I know that he's probably been linked to North End more than, you know, the other names that you've mentioned there. I know Branigan's been linked, but he's more linked than a couple of names. Would Bersant Salina be someone you'd potentially like to see at North End, Jack?
He's a number 10, isn't he?
Yeah.
So probably someone to play Johnson's role in that side of the midfield, maybe. And he can play on the left, can he? I don't even know if he can play on the left. Yeah. But I know I think would be a good option because, I mean, do we need another central midfielder? The common answer is no, but it does seem like Ryan Lowe wants one more and someone that's a little bit more creative, someone who can maybe fill in for Johnson when he's either playing on the left or he's out the team. And, you know, Bersant Salina might be, you know, fit for that, you know, 6 goals and 6 assists in League One. Okay, not the absolute greatest, but it's still decent numbers in a Ipswich team that has struggled quite a bit this season. And I think wouldn't be too bad of a signing, really. And, you know, he's we've been linked with him before, so he's like one of them that. He's one of them rumours that wouldn't just go away, and, you know, maybe we can make them go away for certain now and get him in. I mean, is there better options out there? Probably. But if, you know, I wouldn't be totally against signing him.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good signing. Obviously, played with Swansea in the Championship and Ipswich in the past, so had experience of the league, which is what Lowe's mentioned about having Championship ready players with experience, but won't cost us millions. So he'd be a smart signing, I think. And he's done well in League One last season with Ipswich, which, let's be honest, he's too good for that division. So someone like that would fit the bill for us, I think.
Well, he played with Mike Marsh, didn't he, when he was at Swansea?
He will have done, yeah. So, obviously, that link. And I think, really, midfield's probably the least of our worries. So, I'd rather we looked... Obviously, goalkeepers are a huge area to look at. Wing-backs and strikers are, like, the biggest. And then you'd probably argue we need one or two centre-backs as well. But definitely... midfield is probably the area where you could go into the season with the options we currently have, and you'd be happy with them, wouldn't you? Like you'd be happy to bring in another option, but it's not like a necessity like pretty much every other position in the team is. So that would probably be one. If we could get in for a small fee, you'd probably be happy with that, but it's not a position I'm absolutely desperate to see a signing in at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think we've nailed this question that came in from Dominic Campbell. Was, you know, we're looking at the style that Lowe wanted to play, and we gave reasonable, you know, signings for them. So we've just answered that question. I'm going to do one more question because it is a long episode, and, you know, if you've made it this far, well done, first of all. But it is from Will Atherton, and, you know, it's probably away from the transfer aspect. But there is news of Borussia Dortmund coming to Deepdale. You know, I'm unsure. You know, Marco Reus up against Paul Huntington in his testimonial match. I think Hunt's got him, to be fair.
It would be great, but I saw that obviously Ridsdale, which from the Finney podcast, said that it's, I can't remember the exact word, which get less likely than likely, but he wouldn't rule it out. But if we could have it, then it'd be great. They'd bring a lot, wouldn't they? And yeah, it would be a good bit of money for the club, and obviously a good occasion for Hunts for his testimonial. But really, pre-season friendlies, I mean, they don't mean too much, do they really? It's a nice occasion, but like, I don't think they have much of an impact on how the season's going to go. Obviously, it's good for fitness reasons, but I think it's not a huge deal either way, but it would be a nice occasion for Hunt. So hopefully we can get that sort of friendly sorted out for him, because it would be great for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't agree anymore with that. And, you know, it's probably good to, you know, test these players against, you know, foreign clubs, see the style of their play, and, you know, it's going to be different from, you know, the English league. So it's good to test, you know, North End up against different styles and systems, and, you know, put us in good stead for the start of the Championship season. But yeah, it's a massive summer for the club, obviously. You know, we've mentioned that. We mentioned loads of players. You're probably needing like 9 or 10 players to come in. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting one, definitely. And, you know, it's definitely not going to be a quiet summer, to say the least.
No.
You know, it's what we need. And this is probably our longest ever podcast. So, you know, thank you, listeners, for listening again. And, you know, you've made it to the end. So, yeah, I'm unsure if there's going to be one next week. You know, we're probably going to wait until, like, a bit of news comes in, maybe transfer-wise. Yeah, and, you know, do a podcast, you know, if someone does leave or, you know, comes in. But we'll let you know on Twitter, you know, at ButterpiePod. And we'll be tweeting on there to let you guys know, and we'll put something on P&E online as well. And yep, we might start using the Instagram as well, because we stopped using the Instagram a bit, and we started getting a couple of followers. So I do feel like I might need to, you know, play around with that a bit more. But articles will be coming up on the Butterfly Pod, the Butterfly Press, I should say, by me and a couple of the boys. If they want to. I've just said this right now, so all the pressure's on them now, so I've just forced them into pressure. So thank you, boys, for coming on and wasting an hour and a half of your day on the Butterfly Pod. But yeah, unless you boys have got anything else to say, that's the summer transfer special all wrapped up.
Well, all good for me.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't think of a better hour and a half to waste. Don't worry, mate.
Cheers, right. Cheers, boys, for coming on, and cheers, listeners, for listening. And we will see you soon. Yeah,
maybe. See you soon.
Cheers, boys.
No worries, mate.